All right, 1, 2.
It's recording, that's 8.
1, 2. Welcome to the podcast, my boy G, Max C.
Thank you.
We were just having a conversation, and I'm like, oh, hell no. Get the mics.
Yeah, let it bounce.
So we busted out the mics and the cameras and the 90-degree Thailand humidity, and we're about to go ham. I'll do a quick recap of what we were talking about, then we can continue that conversation, right? We were talking about anxiety because you're basically saying that you have your own experiences. And my last two episodes were about anxiety. But there's nothing like, you know, having a conversation about it, talking to somebody who has their own experiences. And we could share tips, share stories, so on and so forth. Anyway, you were saying COVID fucked you up, as it did many of us. I think I mentioned on a previous episode that it affected me more than I even know. And even the people who didn't feel like they were affected by it were affected by it. It was such a global event. And even if you didn't get sick, even if you didn't catch COVID, just the notion of being locked up or in the lockdowns, we were dealing with Israel and all that bullshit, couldn't fly back and forth, all this stuff. Everyone was affected by it on one degree or another. And if you're emotionally resilient, you could feel like, it didn't affect me. Or if you're an ultra-Orthodox community, like where they never wore masks or like they felt like they were impervious to it in a certain sense, I believe it really deeply affected everyone to a certain degree because our lives were disrupted on one level or another, right? We were disrupted, like you couldn't go to restaurants, maybe they were closed, or you couldn't go to office buildings. So much of what we know and understand was disrupted by it. So you were saying, if I understood you correctly, my bad, I apologize.
I see you.
That you actually caught COVID.
Yes.
And on top of that, in retrospect, you were having anxiety. You thought it was all COVID. It could have been 2/3 anxiety and 1/3 COVID.
Yes.
And that fucked you up.
But there's an old saying, I don't know by who. As humans, we always want a lot of different things. A lot of my words is not going to be very flawless today. Just because I haven't been to the Flawless Rivers in 2 weeks.
Mm.
Usually I go take a dip over there.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Sound sexy.
Sound
real.
So I made the saying, but it's basically when a regular day, a human being wants all these different things out there for himself. When somebody's sick, you don't want anything but one thing only, which is just to be healthy.
Right.
So my COVID experience, I'll just do it fast forward real quick. I got sick at a party a week before shutdown. I caught it a week before shutdown. And a week later when they shut down, I come to find out what it was. I basically, I went a little crazy because I didn't know what was going on. Nobody knew what was going on. It was basically a panic to the most extreme. Now, I live on my own. I love living on my own. There is a conversation about loneliness and being alone, two different things, but I just want to paint you a picture. So I live alone, and when that happened, I went back home. First of all, I was actually satisfied when the governor said that we're going to shut down for 2 weeks, because I was like, finally, I'm fighting this internal weird emotions and physical pains.
Regarding loneliness in general.
No, from the COVID.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm like, and my anxiety was doing its working its part. So I'm like, if I'm going for 2 weeks, that's perfect because I can recover and I can regain my strength and then go out to the world again. I didn't realize what was coming. So it was March 20, 2020 on Monday. Was the Friday they announced, I think it was Friday, they announced that the 20th it's going to be locked down for 2 weeks. So as you know, I live in New York, so they took it to a different level. And the news being news and only showing, as usual, only showing the...
What they want you to see.
What they want, yes, and only bad things. All that amplified everything, and the panic was through the roof. So I went home, and I was really suffering on two ends. One was the COVID sickness, and the other one was the loneliness, the anxiety, the panic, depression. You fall into a lot of categories where you think like you're significant somewhere, or your growth levels, contribution, everything falls apart because you're just there alone and no, everybody's in the same boat. Everybody wants to help you, but they don't want to die. So, and the media will tell you that if you only catch it and this and that, you would just be gone. So I remember that I was thinking that I was going to die, but I really wanted to die. If I die, I wanted to die at home and not go to the hospital.
Yeah. So you actually slipped into that mindset.
Yes.
Because the news is saying everyone's dying from COVID. Now you get COVID. You're stuck at home. Nobody wants to hang out with you because you have COVID. So you start thinking that you're going to die, especially if you're somebody who's prone to having anxiety and thinking in those negative.
And once you start with that panic, it doesn't end.
Cycle, right? Like compounds on itself.
Yes. So, cheers.
Cheers.
By the way, do you feel like you get anxiety or anxious talking about experiences of anxiety? Because sometimes I get that way. Like if I'm even relaying a story, thinking back to the way I felt then could almost give me the jitters.
Right. Not much. I get more anxious by, let's say, what I'm doing right now. Like I have to sit in one spot. So I'm like
not being able to pace and calm.
Yeah, like the authentic me. It's like when you walk into, and this is what I always told these, I don't want to call the Jewish people because I'm part of Jewish people in a negative light, but I was telling a lot of people that grew up in similar hometowns than me that everybody is different. But when we were kids, they tried to discipline us into a certain way that this is how we live. But as soon as everybody gets married and they go to a koilel, and you walk in there, you see people learning in all different shapes and forms. Some stand, some lean, some walk, some sit. It's very acceptable and normal. What's the difference in school or there? Over there, you can act like your authentic self. But in school, elementary school, if you only feel yourself more comfortable standing and pacing and learning or getting your education, if you don't do what they say, then it's a big problem.
So I have a good idea for that, actually. Come to think of it, I only have one mic because I traveled with one, not realizing that I may actually have an interview. So that's why one mic is high quality, one isn't. I could give you, first of all, since you're recording into this, into a phone, you could actually walk around and talk into it if you want to.
Now, no, I'm just sharing what the element of anxiety would be for me sitting in one spot.
Now, if you want to stay seated, I'm going to give you my headphone and the mic because you're doing more of the talking, and I'm going to take this. This also puts you kind of in an element because it drowns out a lot of the background noise that you hear. I don't hear it, and you'll be able to hear yourself better. So check it out. You're going to hear yourself. It's amazing. Check it out.
How you doing?
Right. That's a whole different ball game. Now you understand why we do what we do.
And put some sesame seeds on that crust of the pizza, bro. I don't want no regular pizza, you heard? Yeah, so where was I at?
Okay, yeah, no. So we're talking about element. Yeah, no, you and your element, obviously, pacing. Everybody, you know, we have nerves, right? It's about calming your nerves. And having to sit down for the first time and record on a setting like this is nerve-wracking, even though it's not in a formal setting, right? We're not in a studio, I feel. It's funny because, obviously, I also had my anxieties related to camera and mic, and I still do. But doing it so much over the years, you slowly get used to it. And it's one of those things that, like, if you face whatever things cause your anxiety head on and do it over and over and over, like fear of flying or all kinds of shit that we have, you do get past it. You know, this is your first time behind the mic. The 20th time, it's not even a thought, really. Or it's a little thought and boom. But anyway, back to COVID. So you're fucked up. You're in lockdown.
Yes, I'm in lockdown. And everybody's on the same page. My older brother used to bring me food, drop it over the door. And every so often I would call him, maybe I should come hang out next to your house on the porch and this and that. And nobody wanted to really invite me because they were scared. Everybody was giving fake information. At that point of life, I also realized that a lot of times when you want to get better and you want to improve, when it's really bad, there's two ways of improving. One of the ways is to like find a way that will just boost you to where you want to go, jumpstart you heavily. And if that doesn't work, then you will settle for everything and you will accept the tiny things. So I went crazy with all the tiny ideas. If you can recall, eating turmeric, sleeping with onions on your foot, rubbing salt water in your left ear, anything and everything that would slightly improve my condition, I would do. And I went for everything.
It was pretty interesting. I slept in a tank top like this. I put two onions over here over my heart and lungs, and that's how I slept. I put my socks on with onions in it.
It's crazy what we do when we feel like we're dying.
Yes, there was so many different things that people were telling on social media, what you can do, little tricks. And obviously, I was eating healthy. I was drinking a lot of water. I actually had an alarm every 30 minutes to drink another tea. So I had like 30 teas a day. CBD helped a lot. My anxiety was through the roof. I'll backtrack to a few years earlier. I went to the doctor, and I used to suffer from insomnia, where I couldn't sleep, and that was my whole life. My mother told me that when I was a child, so there's infant, toddler, child, right? So when I was a toddler, she went to the doctor about sleeping, and the doctor asked her to get me a vibrating crib, so it distracts me and puts me to sleep. Lately, when I'm older, I'm trying to pin that back to somewhere, and I'm thinking it may have something to do with not ever feeling safe or in a safe environment to just fall asleep, and that's where it comes from. And I'm trying to work on it. That's hence why I'm saying I used to identify as having insomnia. I still do, but I'm trying to get used to saying that I used to. So, and I overworked. I used to be a crazy workaholic. So the doctor suggested Xanax to me, and I thought it was all slick, so I came back at him and I told him, listen, Albert Einstein was bipolar and he didn't take no bipolar.
I did the research. I looked on Google.
Did all these, I tried to be all slick and all that. What he replied to me kind of left me froze for a minute. He said, listen, imagine if Albert Einstein did take bipolar meds. Maybe he would have been double the person that he was. So that left me a little bit speechless. And then he was sharing with me the history of Egypt, about wine and marijuana, how all this stuff goes back for thousands of years that people used. However, I didn't take it at that time because I was like, yeah, this is not somewhere I want to go. And at COVID, my heart was going crazy a lot too. I was calling different people. I actually got in touch with some people who are from the maybe psychic world, where you don't have to personally be there. You just have to write things and answer a few questions, write a couple chapters, draw a couple pictures, and they'll tell you what's going on with you physically, mentally, and all that. If you believe in it, when you believe in it, it might affect you, it might influence you, whatever you choose. But at the time, I did. So they were telling me something about that a heart attack is coming up, I have to go get an EKG. So I'm going to different clinics, I'm doing EKGs, everything is good. However, something in my mind, or something in me, I never felt recovered and well. So after 5-6 weeks, I finally went back to work. People started understanding more about COVID and what it is. It was pretty bad. I wish I do remember all the little things that was funny when I finally got to go to some people's houses and with the mask on and stay outside by the door, by the steps, and talk to them. It was pretty much fun, but it was funny seeing people buying food and letting the damn food quarantine.
They were quarantining the food?
I see people quarantining food. It was very normal. You buy food, you put it outside, you let it sit for 2 days over there, so just in case it got affected by any COVID particles, it's good now. There's probably hundreds of things. We continue living in these times and forgetting the little details, but there's a lot of super hilarious things that people were doing that was just next level. Yes, so my anxiety, I always had anxiety, and obviously, like, dealing with it is, there's a few ways of dealing with any of these mental situations, and physiology and focus. Focus was one of my main things. I would go get distracted quickly. Watch something, Netflix, TV shows.
How do you, before you go there, how do you feel it? You had mentioned that you feel it very physically, like your stomach will knot up. What other sensations do you feel when you feel like you're having moderate to severe anxiety?
Most of my anxiety is in my stomach. It's like the opposite of the love butterflies, you know? It's the same thing, but negative. It just builds up.
Okay, no, I totally get that.
Yeah.
Because my mind is more heart and mind.
That's just the regular ones, but once, that's it knocking on the door. It's telling me it's present. Like you know that feeling, you can't get away from it. It's, yeah. And then it's my when it gets worse, it's my stomach gets tied up and everything else gets affected. But then when it goes through like panic modes, there's times that I don't know why. I can have something happen to me and I wouldn't bug out until a few days later. And a few days later, I wouldn't even know why I'm bugging out. I one time was driving up to Muncie and I was taking the, from Brooklyn to Muncie, I was going on the Whitestone Bridge. And before the Whitestone Bridge, normally in an average day, there's always traffic. It was like everywhere in New York, especially the city. So I'm sitting in traffic, I'm a mile away from the Whitestone Bridge, and this is bumper to bumper traffic. I'm listening to my music, I'm enjoying myself. I can't wait to go see the people and socialize and have a good day. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, panic attack coming up. My whole body is, my heart is racing like crazy. I'm sweating and my eyesight goes in and out of, I would call it consciousness, but obviously seeing.
You're starting to blank out. It's a type of blanking out, like yes. In and out of like clarity or whatever.
Yes. So it's not as bad as a few other stories. One of them is so crazy that I ain't gonna mention it here. But because this was not, I wasn't on any stimulants or anything. I'm clean, I'm sober. I'm just driving to see my friends. And I didn't know what to do. I was like, if I let this take over my system, I will stay right here in bumper-to-bumper traffic, crash into some car, and just pass, like, be unconscious. So I'm trying anything and everything in my power to gain control of the situation. So I'm like, let me smoke a cigarette. And I'm like, cigarettes is not good for you. So I throw the cigarette, I open the window, I drink water. I'm like, I'm trying to, like, move and sing and do this and that.
Everything under the sun, yep. Stay conscious, stay normal, stay good, stay, don't die. don't die, it's fight or flight mode. It's crazy, your body wants to run.
Yes, and it's the weirdest situation because I can't just pull over. I'm in bumper to bumper traffic on the third lane. There's two lanes here. There's no other option. I have zero options over here. It felt like an eternity, but it probably like took like 3-4 minutes. But after that, I regained control. I went to the bridge just to give you a gauge or just a scope of what sometimes where it takes me.
That phenomenon, by the way, that it comes a few days later and you recognizing it is nice. I discussed that in my last episode. Our bodies somehow store events or pretty much anything. Yes. Our bodies, our physical bodies somehow store experiences. And for you, it seems that it may turn around and hit you a few days later. For others, it seems it could be weeks, months, or years. Right. But if you experience something that's anything but pleasing, on any level.
I'm reading a book now called The Body Keeps Score. It is an awesome book. I wish I can tell you guys every page. But it tells you from A to Z. If you read that book, like each page is like, it's like Gemara. If you read a regular book, you can go page. You get the knowledge, you get the information. Each page, I can reflect on a lot of different areas in my life.
And every page is a universe. Yeah. Like you can break it open like to this. Yeah. It's a very interesting phenomenon that the body does that because the things that you're experiencing are not physical things. For example, you could watch, I'm looking out there in the distance and somebody shoots somebody. Now, nobody physically touched me, but somehow seeing or experiencing that does something physically to your physiology. It gets stored. Now, if you don't deal with that the proper way, whatever the proper way is, and that's a whole nother world of exploration, what's it mean to deal with problems or things or experiences, it comes back. For most people, they're able to store, I wouldn't say most people, but I believe the majority of people could store things for years on end. And that's why there's such a disconnect when it starts coming up. You have no clue what's coming up. Because something could have happened 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago.
Most of the things that I do nowadays stems from that time. The reason why I my instinct or my reaction is a certain way is for my first 15 years of life. That's where it comes from. But the funny thing is that mental health, the way I look at it, the way the world looks at it, I guess, as far as I did my research, is it's so interesting. I can never get over it because if I have a problem physically, let's say if I have a car and something happens with the gas tank and I keep driving on it for years and it's not doing well. But if I want to fix it, all I have to do is go to the mechanic and fix that little issue and now it keeps driving. But as a human, if I saw something or interacted somewhere or experienced something when I was younger that actually changed my outlook for the rest of my life, why is it so hard to fathom that all I got to do is go back just to fix that and that's it, it goes away? if you look in the, if I work out every single day, which I do, how you doing? Nah, I'm just kidding. I'm just taking that as a metaphor. If you work out every day, you look in the mirror, you see yourself getting bigger, you see progress and everything. Mental health progress is you can't see in the mirror. Obviously, if you work for years, you can see people change and everything, but you can't see it. It's one of the things that I've been fascinated with. If you stab me, and I want to talk about my stabbing later on down the line, I show you, look, somebody, this is not a stab wound, but I can show you a wound. Somebody stabbed me. If something happened to me, I got abused, let's make it straight to the point. If you got abused sexually, I can't prove it to nobody. Right. I can share it with you, but it's an invisible world that is very real. That's what's so interesting about mental health and all that. It's there, it's very real in everybody's mind, but it's not physical in a way to be like, yo, this is what happened to me and here are my wounds. It's just the
and
next.
That's not so straightforward. That's probably one of the reasons why people can and do ignore it so easily, because you don't, it's not physical, you don't see it.
Right.
Ironically enough, it's physically torturing you.
Yes.
It's torturing your body.
Yes.
And then consequently your mind, your soul, your heart, everything.
Yes. Ugh. And you can't prove it in physical evidence, and that sometimes it misleads you, like, because you're like, nobody's gonna believe it, or because I can't prove it, because the world today is all about evidence. How did this world get created? How's this, how's that? Evidence, scientific evidence. How you doing, scientific evidence? Can you show me that I got smacked around when I was 10 years old?
How you doing? Keep it moving.
There's no science to that yet. I think neurologists are working on some situations. I want to say some big fancy words here, but I'll leave that for next time. Anyways, what I wanted to share with you earlier is basically all these COVID situations. I never felt recovered. So after like 2 months, I went back to work and I kept feeling pains and I don't know if mental pains and physical pains. I went to a lot of doctors and therapists. I did an MRI. I went to neurologists. I went to general surgeons. I went to regular doctors. I went to clinics. I went to Chinese medicine. Holistic medicine remedies, home remedies.
You were doing everything under the sun.
I was doing everything that was available to me or to my knowledge. And at that time, anybody can come over to me and just tell me this is something that you need to do, and I'll go for it. So I remember one day my boss called me over and he said that his father, which is like 80-something, had some episode like that where he was also feeling that something is wrong. And he went to also all these doctors that he was taking him around. And he was taking him to doctors in the city, crazy good doctors, and nothing was found wrong. And when nothing is found wrong by doctors physically, they tell you that it's all good. But mentally, is not a physical thing. You know, their mental is not a physical thing, so they can't really tell you. But from that discussion, I started understanding that maybe it is a mental thing, but I still kept going to all these places and all these doctors, all these appointments, just to try to get myself better. Because all I wanted to do was get myself well. That's all I wanted to be at the time, well. And I was forced to start working with the mental world in a whole different level. I was always into the mental world. I'm at times a deep thinker. I like real things and details. So I'm never really on the surface. I'll chill on the surface just because I want to just take a breath and just see where I'm going to land. But
you have an appreciation for psychology, I believe, and everything in between. So let me get this straight. So you get COVID, there's the lockdown, and then anxiety starts kicking in. And while this is happening, you don't necessarily know that it's anxiety because you know you have COVID. Yes. You're wigging out that you're going to die and something's wrong and all this stuff. So you're going in this cycle. You're stuck in your house. It's lockdown. Nobody wants you over because you have COVID and all this. So you're basically in prison, which is devastating in its own right. So then you literally, your thoughts drive you to start going to real doctors, serious doctors, and all types of medicine to try to solve this issue, like to identify what the problem is. And then you come to the realization or understanding that there really is no problem. I mean, there is no problem. There's a problem. It's in the head. It's not a physical problem. And a neurologist is not going to solve it. I could totally relate to that because in my recent months, in my recent weeks with my severe anxiety, worse than it's ever been, possibly also a later onslaught from COVID and various world events and life events, that hit me much later. But anyway, it manifested itself in the past few months. I keep on going back and forth in my head, or did a few weeks ago, whether it's anxiety or there's physically something wrong, because it's leading to physical headaches, real disorientation, and all types of real problems. I cannot work. I have to rest more hours than I usually do. I don't have energy, all this different stuff. And it leads you to start thinking, shit, I got to go see a doctor. There's no way. I'm talking to a therapist. I'm really focusing on mental health. And it just doesn't seem to go away. And then I was planning here in Thailand. I was like, Chiang Mai or Bangkok, I'm going to go see a neurologist. I can't wait. And before that actually took place, or while I was researching and trying to make an appointment, one day to the next, the headaches just stopped. Now, obviously, I'm putting in a lot of mental health and physical health work, working out, I'm taking things easy, I'm meditating, I'm doing all this stuff, but I'm doing that for weeks. One day to the next, headache is gone. Wait a second. So I don't have a tumor, I'm not dying, you know? And then it's like, okay, no, this is probably mental health. I probably don't have a brain issue. But I understand going down that cycle of thinking, you start exhausting your understanding of how your capability of making sense of it mental health wise, because you feel like you're doing everything. And I know you've mentioned you've done some stuff, which we're going to get to. But despite that, despite how much you've tried and did and all that, it seems to be very deep levels of just mental health work when it's anxiety related. What are some of the things that you do and have tried or continue to do to...
So this is the thing, like, since I'm about, I think, 20, 21 years old, I've always tried to improve my life for the better. And I've been to probably therapy since 17. I've been in and out of different therapists. And on the way here to Thailand, I went into the bookshop before I came here. So one of the things I'm trying to improve on is reading. Because everywhere I go, everybody always tells me reading. All these, I don't want to call them higher, people live in higher standards. I do want to say, but whatever people live in higher standards, they are very big on reading. I'm a good listener, so I like watching things and getting information from that, but reading is something, one of my goals for 2023. So I went into the store and I wanted to buy a book. I didn't know which book to buy, so I bought this book called We Are All Fucked. And I started reading it. And in the beginning, he was talking about different religions and God and the universe. And I didn't want to... you can hear me normal over there?
I just hear you regularly.
Okay. So I didn't want to read it. I'm like, yo, this is not for me, because it doesn't align with my ideology, with my thinking, with my philosophy. But then I was thinking to myself that when you have to be open-minded, this is what's called open-minded. Just take what you need and leave the rest. Just continue reading. So I read, it was like a 14-hour flight. So I was reading, I read half of the book. And it was pretty interesting stuff, talking about the feeling brain and the thinking brain, which is the left side and the right side. How we think that the thinking brain, the logical brain, is in control. But it's not so. It's actually our feeling brain that controls our actions and everything. Not to get too into the book and get carried away with it. But it was pretty interesting situations. I forgot what I was going to recall from that book. But it's a whole different topic, being open-minded. There was one line in the book that was not his line. He quoted it from somebody else. Like, don't be too open-minded, that you're so open-minded that your brain falls out.
Yeah, I've heard that quote. My brother loves that quote. Don't be so open-minded that your brain falls out. But before we get carried away, because we got distracted, we had to stop because there was a loud boat crossing the river here. The question was, what are some of the stuff that you do to deal with your anxiety that helps calm you down, helps you cope with your day?
Right. So after all these different therapies and everything else, as I was saying, I started working on myself, trying to better myself since I'm 21. But the more I'm working on these recent years, I keep always having in the back of mind a little regret that I didn't work this... The word is not this hard, but like... this intense also not. Basically, I keep on sometimes thinking like the experience and the history that I have now and the knowledge that I have now, if I only had it 10 years ago by therapy, I would have gone so much further. But that's not a good way to think. It just brings you down. Anyway, so after a while, I went back to work. I did all these different appointments by doctors and therapists and tried to figure myself out. One day, I went to my dentist and I was just sharing with him well, my depression. I was really depressed. I was so depressed in at home that one night, different thoughts started coming into my head. I had a friend, very good friend of mine that used to, I used to lean on him a lot, used to be part of my support. So what I used to do is after work, I would go sit in his office just to sit there. He passed away last year. How do you say, God bless his soul and all that. So I kind of lost his support as well, which I was grieving for a while on that. I didn't even realize it, that I was that helped in the depression. So my depression was so bad. I remember one night I was just chilling at home and my mind started talking to me. It said, yo, you see this medicine over there that you have? You take this whole thing, it'll be over. I live in New York, so I have a New York compliant AK-47 in my house. And at the same time, my mind was telling me that, it was also telling me, that AK-47 Krasnikov, just take it, shoot yourself. But everybody calm down, don't be alarmed. This was my mind talking to me at the time, and I was looking at myself. I was like, what the fuck? This is not me saying these thoughts. Like, what's going on over here? This is not me consciously thinking this. I was really mad at it because I'm like, I used to be suicidal when I was younger. I wanted to just get the easy way out. I didn't look at it as the easy way out. I was just looking at it like, I want to go to the next level because this is not for me. I'm not going to get into that too much. If you want to, I can. I have no problem sharing.
Another episode.
Yeah. However, when that thoughts came to my mind, I was really bugging out. I was like, I got to do anything and everything to get better. That was the end of 2020. The beginning of 2021. So naturally, I was doing home remedies then every 4 hours, taking drops of natural things that will eventually get me better and balance my mental situation. And I was taking all the information I can. Buddha was a big help. We see big Buddha statues everywhere, which is really awesome because I learned so much from that. I learned that words doesn't mean anything. It's just a sound that you understand, my sound that I'm making right now. And how everything, how we interact with everything. It's so interesting, but that's a whole different topic. So I was looking for a therapist. I was reaching out to anybody and everybody, talking real talk. It's so interesting how some people you can't speak to when you want to openly speak about real life. They just shut down. Not
everyone's comfortable having conversations about, things that matter in life, like mental health or emotions.
So after a while, I think by 2021 was a pretty miserable year for me. Basically, my main focus most of my life is I'm not really afraid of death. I'm not one of those people. I am afraid of life, as in suffering. I just don't want to suffer. It sounds very bad to say, but that's one of the things that I feel inside most of the time. Like, suffering is my issue. That's why I wanted to, if I was going to die, I wanted to drop dead. I didn't want to suffer in a hospital bed. I can suffer by myself. I love nature and animals and all that, so I was getting into that heavy.
Speaking of animals, you see there's a whole bunch of like cows out there. Isn't that cool?
So animals got a good idea. Like, whenever they get sick or injured, they separate themselves from the pack if they're pack animals.
Okay.
So I always enjoyed that part. Enjoy that part. You can't say it like that. But I always enjoyed the fact that, like, when I get sick...
I appreciated it.
And I would do that all the time. Anytime I got sick in my life, I would just
separate myself.
And now, come to think of it, I would do the same thing when I'm mentally ill. When I'm mentally ill, I just want to isolate. Leave me alone. Let me go to the corner and let me figure it out. So I went to the dentist, and he was sharing with me a couple things. I was telling him I'm depressed and this and that because I also lost... my friend at the time passed away.
Yeah, it's devastating. I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, and I didn't realize how much support he gave me just by being there. And I didn't realize I was grieving the whole time. So my dentist was sharing with me something about yoga. Now, 10 years ago, I would never think that I'm going to be doing yoga because it's a different lifestyle a little bit. And I didn't see myself in that lifestyle.
Well, you are into the natural medicine.
Yes. I was always into natural stuff. It's
home remedies.
Yes.
Onions on your chest.
Yeah.
It's not about, I didn't see myself in that lifestyle. I felt like I will never let my guard down enough, maybe, to be able to enjoy life the way I want to enjoy it. And I will be judged like, oh, you're a hippie, you're this, right. You're that, you're liberal. And that's why I was like, I didn't see myself living that lifestyle, because I was like, in the world I live in, I don't think I get to be my authentic self. And whatever that is.
Well, you don't allow yourself to, or didn't allow yourself to.
Yeah. So he's telling me about a 30-day challenge for yoga. So he sends me the video. I go home. The next day I start it. By the way, besides vacations, which I took a few in the last few years, I didn't miss more than 2 days. Besides vacations, I do it basically of yoga. I do it every morning since that dentist visit. So that was a 30-day, and I kept restarting the 30-day. So that was 2022. January, I started with that. About March, also I started working out. I always work out a little bit and then stop. I like to do body workouts at home, like body weight workouts, just to keep healthy. One of the things that all these, I don't know what you want to call it, but like these people who read your face, your mind, and your hands, like what is that world called?
Body language experts?
No, like when you write down something in your handwriting, how much pressure you put in the pen and how you...
Yeah, well, so I think every domain within that category is like its own skill set and its own like profession, but I don't know the exact term for that particular one. But there are people who specialize in reading people's writing. There are people who are, you know, body language experts, all kinds of stuff, but okay.
So one of the suggestions that I got, one of my prescriptions was get friends and exercise. That's the two main, that was my script, boom. And that will get you better.
You needed to get friends.
Yes, be more, you know, get real
social
friends,
and
be
friends
social,
and exercise.
And that will sort of kickstart you to the next level and continue living in this world like everybody else and be happy, be content, whatever. So I was working out and in March, I was looking for a specific therapist. I didn't find good therapists the whole time since COVID. I went to a lot of different therapists. A lot of it was interesting, but what is it called? CA, cognitive something something. I forgot the name right now, but for that part, I didn't find anybody good. Actually, I want to do EDMR one day, but I haven't tried it yet. So one night, this was prior to where I was holding, but one night I finally found a therapist that was calling for 6 months, and he finally found time to talk to me. So he's like, he actually picked up the phone. He didn't find the actual session. So he suggested somebody else, and somebody else suggested somebody else. So I felt like I'm getting somewhere. And that guy, I made an appointment at Friday at 11 o'clock a.m. Thursday night, my friends called me out to go chill at a bar so we can all be social. I didn't really want to go out, but they pushed me a little bit, so I went out. So this was still in COVID times, and we're still in COVID times in a way. Now, half the world, but at that point when I was going out, they closed anything at 10 o'clock. That's the curfew. So I went out, and I went over to the waiter, and I told him, yo, let me get the most popular drinks. Let me get all three of them. The three most popular drinks you sell here, that's what I want to drink. He comes over, gives me some colorful, funny-looking drinks. I drink it. I get messed up. I don't usually drink more than one type of alcohol when I start drinking, because I just like to stick to my thing and not to overdo it. And at that night, I didn't care. So after that, after 10 o'clock curfew, when they kicked us out, we went over to their house and we kept drinking. I had a good time and went home and went to sleep. Obviously, the next morning, I didn't wake up in time. So I'm going over here, I'm like, holy shit, I have a fucking therapy session at 11 o'clock. So I'm running to the therapy session, and I go in, I'm all hungover, really hungover, because I didn't drink the same type of alcohol. I mix all these different types of alcohol. And I walk in there, and I start talking to him, and I tell him, I share my story and what I want to do, and it didn't click. After half an hour, I'm like, okay, how much is it? He's like, it's $250. I was so upset. And I got so discouraged and disappointed by therapy yet again. I've got disappointed about it so many times. Where if it's not the right thing, it just doesn't work. It's partially my fault for for having a night like the night prior to that. But
it is disappointing, though. You know, you go, you find out how expensive it is, especially good therapists. And unless you really have the extra money, it's very difficult. And it's a letdown.
Yeah, and it didn't help me. It just basically set me back like 5 steps. So at this point now, I'm looking for another therapist. It's not working out. So one day it was like Sunday, and I'm like, it's on my list, and I have to do this. I'm calling people. I'm trying to find the real people, and it's not working out. So I put on my shoes. I went out my door, and I said, let me start running. That will be my therapy. I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know when. I'm like, I don't care. I'm just going to do it. And that's what I did. I started running. And I have, besides vacations, I've ran between 10 to 15, sometimes 18 miles a week since then. And that has been one of my favorite therapies in the whole world.
Oh, that's phenomenal. It's like the movie Catch Me If You Can, where the character just gets a bug in his head and starts running and doesn't stop. But this reminds me of what I mentioned in a previous episode. There's a way to solve your anxiety. I literally say this verbatim. Go walk the Appalachian Trail. Go run. Go do something extremely difficult, physical. You're not going to have anxiety when you're 10 miles into a run. Oh, we don't want to run. There's a solution. We're lazy to do the solution. It just shows that it's not like a physical illness, like a tumor that you cannot solve, or something that's beyond. There are stuff that you can do right now to get out of your worst severe panic and anxiety. All of us. They're just hard things to do.
Yes.
Like hard exercise every day.
And discipline and time management.
Okay, so natural medicine, yoga, and now we're at running.
Yes. So running was a very big breakthrough for me. It didn't work in 1 week. It took a few weeks till I started realizing what it does to me. And then naturally, it brought me to a whole different level. The runner's high was present a lot of times.
Dopamina.
The dopamine was flowing.
I apologize. You already know.
Yeah, already nasal. I remember times like after a run, how high I would be and how good I would feel. Yeah, but to sum it all up, running is awesome. It's fantastic.
That's really cool. Anything else? Any little stuff? Any cold plunges? Up on the wall, sing Kumbaya.
Yes. So I did that summer. I did a couple of cold plunges where I did 10 minutes in the ice bath. I do breathing exercises. I do meditations. I do all that.
Wim Hof?
Wim Hof, yes. Nowadays I do cold showers. But what everything has in common is one very simple thing. You have a voice in your mind consistently telling you, yeah, don't do this, what are you doing, this is stupid, man, you ain't got no time, and you always have to fight it. So when I take a regular run, for example, in the beginning of the run, I don't want to do it. I'm not interested in running right now. Who wants to run? I want to chill on the couch, I want to watch some TikTok. I don't have TikTok, by the way, but just an example, watch reels, waste my time. But as I start running, as I get into a cold shower, as I start doing yoga, meditation, everything, my mind is the same all across all these different methods and all these different variations of exercises and whatever you want to call it. Mine is like, yo, no, you're not going to do it today. Why today? Do it tomorrow. It's not the right time. Oh, by the way, you got something else to do. How can you push it in? So that self or that conscious that's talking to me, that's the one I usually try to beat. Because when it tells me this is not something you can do and I go and do it, it's not about the runner's eye. It's not about the dopamine you get after the cold shower. It's not about the different spirit and different types of energy that you get after yoga, which is very interesting because I thought I'm going to start feeling completely different. And then I found out that what yoga does to you is something that I have never known before. It's a different energy that it gives me. Like I was expecting A and B, and I didn't realize there's more alphabet after Z. And that's what it gives me. So after being disappointed that it doesn't do anything, I realized, yo, it does something, you just don't know about it. That doing all that, it trains your mind that you can, and you can do much more than you think, basically.
So you were talking, you were mentioning the focus thing. So all of this is about on one level or another, switching the focus. Because we were discussing this earlier. Like, I have my interesting anxiety that's been kicking for the past few months, more severe than ever before. I'm learning about it, learning how to deal with it. Not exactly sure what triggers it, but do know what makes it worse. I also know by now what helps me recover from it. And I know that I need to like really just take things easy and relax and rest. And if I'm working on the computer, looking at a screen, clicking buttons, and my anxiety and stress kicked in, it gets worse. So I know I can't do that. But if I'm sitting and watching YouTube, which is mind-numbing, it doesn't get worse. So what's the difference? They're both just looking at a screen. There are certain things I'm learning that induce or create, I don't know if it's dopamine, but it does something to your brain. It takes you out of the focus that's causing or creating the anxiety. And for me, it's that. It could be anything for anyone. We're talking about exercise. Sometimes when I go for a workout, it doesn't have the focus. It doesn't have what I need in order to take me out of the anxiety mindset or whatever, that takeover where it like takes over your brain. I start feeling disoriented. I can't focus, and all stimulation makes it worse. Sometimes going to the gym just makes it worse for me. Obviously, there's a threshold. If you pass it, like I said, if you're on Appalachian or if you're doing a 10-mile run, at some point you pass the threshold, it becomes physical. Like I told you before, going for a sport massage where they're torturing you, you're not thinking about how your heart's beating or if you're dying when you need to endure pain. You're actually focusing on getting through the pain. It pulls you out and forces you to focus on something else. A lot of the coping mechanism seems to be a focal point around what actually takes your mind out of it. And for everybody, it's different. That's what makes it a bit complicated. It's not a sure thing, and it's not like one size fits all, quote unquote. You have to identify what works for you and what doesn't. You mentioned that your cold showers gives you clarity for hours. The dopamine kind of lasts for hours, going into work for hours.
Yeah, it's not just what it physically does to you, it's what it mentally does to you. That's why I love it, because if you face anything in life, and you know, most of the things you faced, the anxiety starts kicking in. And basically, if you've ever been mad at somebody, you get really frustrated at somebody, your mind always piles the negative experiences, and that just surfaced to the front of your mind, and you're just mad at him or her, like, oh, why are you doing this to me? And then you did this, and you did this, and this, and this.
You're not thinking about how much you love them when you're mad at them.
Yes, and you automatically, by default, you have your stack of proven evidence why you are right, and all these different experiences and different scenarios that happen, different episodes. Every time when I get anxiety, obviously I go down that path in a way. It's a mixture of anxiety and all other. I'm not in a Andrew Huberman mindset right now to tell you all the right words, but it brings you to that point. So when you do anything that you think you're not capable of doing, that is really hard, like a cold shower, and you bump into any of these problems, you already know that the anxiety can't come here because you dealt with something this morning that is so difficult mentally for you, and you overcame it. You are stronger than you know, than you believe. It doesn't matter. Like, I still got to work on self-confidence and self-esteem, but that all gets pushed aside because, like, you have hard evidence and experience. You just experienced that this is what I did. I tried to do 2 minutes. I couldn't do 30 seconds, and I did 3 minutes. Bring anything on that brings anxiety. It doesn't matter. I can do it because I just did that. And you know and you believe it because you have the proof and you lived it.
That's a beautiful thought, essentially, and putting yourself through hardship and pain makes you more resilient and tougher, so that things like your anxiety or negative thoughts become weak in the light of strength, real strength. What an incredible journey you shared. And I know that we could talk about this and surrounding topics for days on end, right? I mean, you've been through so much and endured so much and explored so much in these realms and others. But we can only put so much into one episode. Is there any last thought you want to share on this particular, just let's say, because more than anything, we touched on the last 2 years of your journey, right? There's a whole world before that and there's a world to come, but something that's more relevant to the more recent journey.
I got to think about this because I know you said we just touched on my last 2 years, but my last 2 years took 10 years.
Yeah, it felt like an eternity.
Yeah, oh. there's so much more like that I do daily from the moment I wake up to the moment I sleep, the moment I close my eyes, that is insane. That time management discipline that I put in on a regular week, from eating healthy and cooking my own meals and having checklists all day about every step and being very disciplined and enduring and accepting the longer longer duration to get well. This will take 6 months. Okay, no problem. I used to want everything very instantaneously. I'm very accepting now of the longer durations, I guess. But one thing I would like to say is, when it comes to anxiety or anything else that brings anxiety, what I've learned is from meditation. And by the way, I'm not a meditator like a Buddha and like some of the accepted meditations and in society. My meditation doesn't have to be sitting in one spot. My meditation is reflecting and dissecting in my mind what's going on and getting into that zone where all I see is what I want to see. So it's a
type of introspection.
Yes, it's a form of meditation that I enjoy because I feel better when I get out of it, and I feel more enlightened about myself and where I want to go and where I've been and how to connect the dots. But what I found important for me, important enough to share, is like sometimes it's very hard to switch from one gear to the next gear. Like being anxious, okay, here's the trick, you're not anxious anymore. It doesn't work like that. And since you know it doesn't work like that, your mind will play tricks on you, like, listen, what are you doing? But I did find that a lot of times that the 1% makes all the difference. If you are 100%, you deal with 100% anxiety. Obviously, you want to change it 100%. But if you can figure out how to change 1%, then you're only dealing with 99% from now on. So I would have different nights. It still happens at times where different thoughts just come in. And obviously, I don't know if it's obvious, but for me, it's obviously at night, my anxiety can act up much in a much bigger scale because it's nighttime, your mind just talks. So what I figure when the worst would happen to me, the worst forms of anxiety would come on at night where I cannot turn around. Now, I remember you told me this once, probably back in 2016 or something, like, we're all being teenagers and being tough and all that, like just saying the right words and the right quotes from different books and different movies and different people, like, yo, you wanna fight with me type shit, yo, you better don't go down the road where you can't back up, remember that shit? So that's the same shit that I have with anxiety. Once you go down that road, there's one way, it's not a two-way, you can't fucking pop a U-turn. You probably can, but it's like in your mind it's impossible and you keep going. So those times what I've learned is that if you only take a moment, first of all, I can have a whole episode just to explain to you how I got myself to the point where I can actually stop when I'm in a situation and think, like, what the hell is going on now? And that was not an easy thing to do, where you can just hold your mind up. But at that moment, I would stop and think about it. Now, the pain will not go away. The anxiety will not go away. Because sometimes it's really bad situations that we're in or thinking of or reliving that really kills us inside. Eats us up. But when I did stop for a moment, I thought about it, and I told myself, listen, I want to make room for this and I want to improve myself. I just don't know how. But I did that. That helped itself. Why? Because the next time it happened, I had something to relate to. The next time I had a night like that, I was like, oh, by the way, my mind was like, yo, I can relate to it. I'm familiar with this already, because I remember last time you had it, you were thinking about it. So now all of a sudden it feels 2% better than last time because I have somewhere to go to. And now every single time it felt better. It doesn't matter how much I worked on it, but just the moments of taking the moment and opening yourself up for it and allowing it to come in and be there and talk to it and make space for it and all that, your mind has a familiarity,
yes, yeah,
to go back to, and it makes everything, yeah, easier.
Familiarity really helps in the journey of trying to get through panic and anxiety. I've seen that myself too. So it's really fascinating. I mean, especially because you feel like you went through so much just in these past few years. They say that there are like defining moments in life, certain times when things will really change, things will really determine who you become and your next move and all that kind of stuff. Do you feel like this was one of those times, I guess, starting from COVID, Because in a certain sense, I mean, with my recent anxiety, I feel like, I mean, it's a life changer. I've never in my life had to not work because of anxiety. It did not exist. There was no such thing that I didn't work. For me to have to make a decision at 30 years old, and I know you're in the same age range, we're dealing with this type of shit, to make a decision like give up a client, stop work, to focus on mental health. I mean, like you were saying earlier, you feel stupid. Why didn't I pay attention, you know, earlier? Well, we don't pay attention until we're smacked in the fucking face, right? But these are like life-defining moments. It's like, oh, now I have to rethink everything, right? I thought I understood how I'm going to get through life. No, you don't understand. And I have to rethink everything. You feel like it's a life-defining moment for you as well since COVID?
Yes, 100%. It changed my whole outlook. And I always like to change my outlooks in life. So for me, what I realized in the past couple of years is that work. So I used to work very long hours, and my mind was all about work, and in an unhealthy way, if you want to think about it, it's not a healthy way. I mean, it was healthy helping with my anxiety and my stress, because I could be distracted and I have something to go for and I have meaning in life. Meaning is something that heals everything, but the unhealthy meaning, I don't know if that would work. So what I found out, it was like really hard for me to take off of work, because how can I go to work and take off for my personal life? But then I realized I take off time for my personal life every day to go to work. So I flipped the whole script around, and nowadays I work less because I want my personal life to be more at a higher standard. That changed a lot too, and that gave me a lot better life, because now I can put in work in my personal life, and it's not about all work life, because I'm not here to just work.
Wow, Asima, I think that calls her.
Yeah.
Leave a like and subscribe. Subscribe.